Ephesians chapter 6. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I want to look at one verse here, and then we're going to pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. And this is New King James I'm reading from. It says, finally, and that's a good word. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Whose might? His might. Not your might. His might. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just give you glory and praise for the last 6 weeks as we've gone through the book of Ephesians. And Lord God, thank you for the teaching that's in this book.
Yes.
Lord, take us today where you want us to be. Don't leave us behind, but change us. Open our spiritual eyes, Lord, and our spiritual heart to receive the words Paul has given the church. Mature saints in your church. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Spirit, just fill this place. Teach us. Minister to us. Lord, use me as your vessel and pour out. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Amen. Today is the last day of our boot camp experience. And I sincerely hope that you've enjoyed it as much as Pastor Glenn and I have enjoyed bringing it to you. Amen. In this last chapter of the book of Ephesians, we are now challenged to take the message from the heart of God to the world. Every one of us has been called into full-time Christian service. I must have a hair or something come off that mask here. The terms we know as clergy and layman are not found in the Bible. Just because a person sits in the congregation doesn't mean that he or she is less than or any less than in the full-time ministry than the minister standing in the pulpit. If you practice doing everything you do as unto the Lord, you are in full-time service to Jesus.
Amen?
Amen? You will be rewarded accordingly in heaven, just as any of the fivefold ministry positions. Listen, folks, the pastor cannot be in all places at one time. The prophet can't prophesy everywhere all at once. God brings salvation to students so they can witness to students. Factory workers so they can witness to factory workers. Businessmen so they can witness to businessmen. And housewives to witness to housewives. The Lord has born again believers in all levels of society, so they may share the good news with their peers. Amen? And if we fulfill our calling, then we could experience true revival within our nation and witness our country being strengthened from the inside out. Hallelujah. And Lord knows, we know, Lord, we need that. Our country needs that. So are you ready to take His word and fight for new territory? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. In chapter 6, Paul is going to teach us about wearing the armor of God. But before he prepares us for war, Paul's going to teach us how to submit.
Ooh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, that's right. And that's what a military boot camp is all about. Bringing the civilian's will in line with military standards, codes, rules, regulations, and ways of thinking. Our relationship with God is the only relationship in which we can be confident that the other party who is leading us is right. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen?
All the time. However, God allows us to be in human relationships where those who are in authority over us are not always right. Why is that necessary? So you and I can learn submission to him, not them.
Wow.
Right. To him. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yes.
All right, let's begin with chapter 6 and verse number 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The most effective time to learn obedience and submission is as a young child. Parents, don't neglect to teach respect for authority to your children. God doesn't expect children to understand everything their parents tell them to do. He just expects them to obey. And the principle also applies to his own spiritual children. Quiet in this Presbyterian church. Amen. Verse 2 and 3. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Now, compare the life of those you know who show respect for authority with the lives of those you know who don't. All behavior has consequences. What a difference their respect will show in their life. Children are to obey while they are under the care of their parents, but the responsibility to honor their parents is for life. Amen?
Amen.
Verse number 4. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. The command is given to authority. The father. Our society has always left nurturing to the mother. However, children learn their core values from the authority figure at home. It is important for Christian parents and Christian children to relate to each other with thoughtfulness and love. Mutual submission occurs when both parents and children put the other's interest before their own, actually submitting to one another. A child can easily submit to a parent when a parent acts in love, treating their children as Jesus treats the people he loves. Amen?
Yes.
It's easy to submit when the other one's doing right. Easy. Verse 5 and 6. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. All right. Your work ethic on your secular job is of concern to Father God because it reflects your character. It shows who you are. Whether you are the boss or the low man on the job, your work should honor Christ. Your work should honor Jesus Christ. Amen? The word eye service in that verse means that's when you only do what is right when someone is looking.
Mm-hmm.
when someone is looking, and they're always looking at the Christian. Verse 7 and 8, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Verse 8, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. God expects us to have integrity on our jobs as though Christ was our supervisor. Amen. The term slave in that verse means a servant so devoted that even that if they were offered their freedom, they would refuse it because of their lifelong commitment to a beloved master. As slaves to Christ, we are truly free, but we are slaves. Amen? In Exodus chapter 21, verse 5 and 6, it says, but if the servant plainly says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or to the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Amen. Are you a true slave for Jesus Christ? Or do you have some excuse for saying, that job is beneath me? Sorry, with that attitude, you think you're too good for the job. And consequently, no other openings will be available in God's kingdom. Amen? None of us will ever have a justifiable reason for saying, they were just using me at that church. Folks, that's why we joined God's army. To be used. To be used. Hallelujah. We are permanent slaves to Jesus Christ. Forever. And I don't see it, but our ears should be pierced. Verse 9. And you know masters do the same things to them. And you know masters do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven and there's no partiality with him. God is no respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of principles and of passion. He loves everybody. He loves his principles. He loves to see passion. When you are in a position of leadership, don't take advantage of others. No one should lead who has never followed. Joshua was a great leader because he had submitted to a flawed leader like Moses. And remember, no one is more important than another. Now, why has Paul spent so much time talking about submission? Because when soldiers are submitted, they will not break rank. Amen? They can be trusted to do their job and be victorious. God will reveal things to you, and when he does, he expects you to be prepared to fight for it. Remember the spies in the promised land. Amen? God expected them to go into the promised land. But 10 out of the 12 weren't ready to fight. So it cost them 40 years. In the verses we just discussed last week and today, beginning with chapter 5, verse 20, that Brother Glenn told us about, and continuing through chapter 6, verse 9, that we just looked at, we realize that a spirit-filled life will make us a better wife, husband, teenager, employee, and boss. Paul has dealt with the natural side of everyday living. He's dealt with the natural side of everyday living. Now he discusses the use of our weapons in preparation of witnessing and spiritual warfare. Verse 10 is a transitional verse. It introduces us to the conclusion of the book. Are you ready to take up the weapons of your warfare? Amen? Now, why did Paul wait until the end of the book to introduce the use of spiritual weapons? The whole book has been preparing and maturing the saints to be effective soldiers, to first stop the enemy, then spread the good news, and recover prisoners. Amen? Amen? It is beautiful how this book has brought the revelation all the way from one person, Father God in chapter 1, right? Through the Son, chapter 2, Jesus. Through the Holy Spirit in chapter 3. Through all the ministry offices in chapter 4. And into the body in chapter 5 and chapter 6. Hallelujah. The body of Christ has now been prepared to take the message out into the world and win others to the Lord. Praise Jesus. This is where we do our combat. This is where we do our combat. Believers must attack the devil head on. Head on. Otherwise, Satan will continue to control and distort the minds of the lost, stealing them away from the God who loves them. Are you with me, folks? Verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Members of the New Testament church must be strong. That is a mandate from God. Not weak, not passive, not indifferent, not whiny, but strong. Strong. The strength of God is not proven by how much you can avoid. It is proven by how much you can endure. For example, what did Jesus endure on the cross? Christians in North America have never really had to suffer much of anything. But yet we complain about our light afflictions. Wouldn't a testimony service in heaven be a bit embarrassing? Wow. Just let that sink in a minute. Hallelujah. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand the wiles of the devil. Put on the armor of God and put off your own plans and strategies. The devil is too smart for you to attempt to fight in your own strength. The word wiles in that verse means trickery, and that's his specialty. He will trick you. He will trick you without God's wisdom. Verse number 12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Well-organized army. Folks, people are not your enemy. Can I shout that? People are not your enemy. The devil is your enemy. Unfortunately, Christians have become so secular in their thinking that we believe everything we face is in the natural. Today, we counsel instead of wrestle. So there's no success. Don't respond in the flesh when you are being attacked in the spirit. Don't let the problem you face eliminate the promise that you've been given. Glory to God. You do not wrestle with people. They're not your problem. Just recently, I have been able to do some talk with a person, and I told them, you need to shut up and be quiet. Because they are so confused, they don't know how to even understand the wisdom of God. They can't operate as a Christian because they are so confused by what the devil has put in their mind. They can't hear Jesus. They can't hear the voice of God. That didn't cost you anything extra. Verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Withstand in the evil day. Oh, wow. It is his armor, but it is your stand. His armor, your stand. We must engage in spiritual warfare because Satan opposes every step we take. We live simultaneously in two spheres of existence, the spiritual realm and the natural realm. The spiritual realm is the parent realm from which everything in the natural is given birth. But we can change the natural realm as we function in the spiritual realm. Amen? You cannot defeat the enemy in the natural realm. Yelling at somebody is not going to defeat the enemy. Saying the words will not defeat the enemy. You must defeat him in the spiritual realm. And then the natural realm will fall in line with what has been accomplished in the spiritual. That's a hard lesson to learn because I just want to pick somebody up and jerk them sometime. You do too, yeah. But that's not our place, and that ain't going to change that person one iota. It's when we wrestle in the spirit that we'll get something accomplished. Amen. All right, let's look at verses 14 through 17, and then we'll break these down. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, verse 15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Every piece of armor of God pertains to our identity in Christ. Every piece of armor. Having girded your waist with truth, be sure you know the truth of God's word. So when the devil fights you with lies, you can immediately overcome him with the truth. Let your life be based in truth. There are the lies of the enemy, but there are also our lives. Let your life be based in truth, so you're not giving place to the enemy. Do you remember Jesus' temptation in the desert? The temptation came, Jesus spoke the word, and the devil left. You need to base your life on pure motives, folks. Pure motives. All right, put on the breastplate of righteousness. As a believer, you are covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 2 tells us that. Your heart is vulnerable because it is the seat of your emotions, your self-worth, and your trust. You need to guard your heart with holiness, holy living. having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Trying to live a life of peace in this world is a battle everyone will face, every one of us. But God provides us with the necessary motivation to continue to proclaim the true peace of God, which is available to all, to everyone. Taking the shield of faith. Satan attacks us with insults, setbacks, and temptations. But it is the shield of faith that protects us from the devil's fiery darts. Now, in Jesus' day, they had shields that were made of wood, and they would coat them with the hide of an animal or some fabric type, and they would wet that fabric or that hide, they would wet it, so when a fiery dart would come, a fiery arrow would come, it would be extinguished when it hits the shield. Okay? What I want us to do is soak our shields in the Word of God. It will extinguish every dart that comes our way. Take the helmet of salvation. The devil's plan is to make you doubt God's work of salvation, so keep your mind focused on the truth that you are saved by the blood of Jesus, period. That's it, final, no doubts. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You're saved. Period, exclamation mark. One of the biggest works of the enemy is to get you to doubt your salvation. The sword of the Spirit. Your only offensive weapon is the sword. To yield the sword, you must know the Word of God. It is the Word that defeats the enemy in the spiritual realm. Verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. The last few generations have done more with praise than any other generation before us. But we still haven't learned how to pray. There must be a balance, folks. There must be a balance. When the church doesn't pray, we're not even on the battleground. So make prayer a habitual response to every situation. You make prayer your life and your life of prayer. Verse 19 and 20, Paul says, "And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." Verse 20, "For which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Those that carry the mystery are on the hit list of heaven. But the chains can't stop the ambassador. We just found that out. Paul was in prison. Nonetheless, he continued to boldly preach regardless of where he was and what he faced. All right? He says in here, so that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, this term means that the believer will speak at the right time. At the right time. There's an important clue here. You need to pray to the Lord that you will know what to say and also know the right time to say it. Many people think you are to open up your mouth anytime you feel like it. And if someone gets offended, too bad. Be careful, saints, about offending others. Be careful. Because Paul is pointing out the importance of knowing when to say the right thing. Years ago, I worked at Marathon Oil. There was a secretary I was witnessing to. And a younger lady and younger than me. I was young then, but younger than me. And I just witnessed to her and talking about the love of Jesus. Just the love of Jesus. And I was so close to bringing that lady into salvation. Just loving on her, doing for her, her and her family. And some people from the same church I was going to at that time knocked on her door and started saying all the wrong things, even though they had the right reasons. They shut her down completely to anyone talking to her about the gospel message. There was no love in their message. Only bad mouthing, only disagreement, only putting her down. And I'll remember that all my days. There's a time to speak and there's a time not to. And the only one that's going to tell you that is the Lord. How many people have Christians offended? We have offended many, many, many people. Now, Mary Lou told me a story the other day about that in the armor. And I'll try to get it right, Mary Lou. Offense can be like a bag on your back. You can carry offense around with you all the time. And the story she told was that when you offended somebody, it's like putting a big rock in your sack. And after a while, folks, it gets heavy. Okay? But if you're carrying this bag, you don't have your hands freed up either for a shield or a sword. You are working with less than God has given you because of offense. Ask God about speaking before you open your mouth up. Ask God to give you the right words when you do speak. And folks, always, I don't care how it is, there's the right way to speak to everybody. I know there is, even when they're in trouble. But it's got to be based in love. Got to be based in love. Verse 21 and 20, it says this: "But that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing. Tychicus, a beloved blood brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts." All right, the word "know my" or "know our affairs." Paul is instructing the church in these different areas and then sending Tychicus to report. This letter was also intended to circulate to other churches and inform them of necessary instructions and give them accurate information. Remember, early on in this book, we talked about the body of Christ being unified. We are to be unified. Amen? We should know the rejoicing as well as the pain of others. Amen? Let's be cognizant of the body of Christ everywhere, and let's focus on praying the details and praying all the way through a problem. Not just talking about the problem in a gossiping way. But folks, for me to pray correctly, you to pray correctly, you need details on how to fight the enemy for someone. Don't be a closed book. Paul wanted the churches to know what was going on with him. Let me tell you about my affairs. When we started preaching full time, one of the things I told Bonnie, and I think the Lord told me this, is you better be transparent. And I have tried to be transparent all these days. I try not to hide anything from you. We've had trouble in our family, and I've stood up in front of the church and told about the trouble going on in my family. Some of you were there, know all about it. I have tried not to hide anything because I want you to know the true me, but I also want you praying for the situation I'm in. I need to be transparent. And folks, that's just not me I'm talking about. We all need to be transparent. We need to be able to accept prayers and even advice, godly advice, from other people. But if they don't know what's going on, how can you get advice? You know, there are people, and I firmly believe this, no matter what I walk through, there's other people that have walked through it. And here I am in the midst of it, and they're finished with it. What did you do to get through it? What were the steps you took? How can I get some help here? What's going on? Well, if you don't know these things, and how can anyone help correctly? The church, and I say this, when I got a call to pastor a church, I loved the Bible already, but it didn't say much about the church in there to me. And when I received that call to pastor a church, I can look at just about every page and see the church in here. The unity, the coming together, the helping of one another, the doing what we can for one another in this walk. Because believe me, you have an enemy that wants to destroy. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. He doesn't come to badger. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. He badgers to get to the goal of steal, killing, and destroying. I want people, week before last, talked about my buddy Harold. I want somebody like Harold behind me, flexing their muscles, standing with me, spiritual muscles. Two more verses, 23 and 24. Peace to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. These two verses are a beautiful ending to the 6 weeks we've spent in Believer's Boot Camp. Amen. Let me a little paraphrase these two verses. Peace, love, and grace to all of those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with sincerity of heart. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a big hand, a shout of hallelujah. Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. I asked Sister Karen to lead us in onward Christian soldiers. Amen. Come on, let's stand together. Most of you should know this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for writing it. Thank you that it's a guide for living. Help us each day to put on the armor of God. Help us each day to pray for our brothers and sisters. Help us each day to walk with you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your instruction. Keep our mind open to receive everything you have for us, Lord. And Lord, we give you glory and praise and thank you for these words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen.
Amen.
God bless y'all. I love you.